Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Wow, I hope I got a good signal this evening. We got another wonderful show for you folks. As always, I'm going to promise you some information that's going to be life-changing in the many lives of not only us as parents this time, but we're going to touch on a few other aspects of our opportunity to create success. Success in the lives of our children, as many times we talk about that. But I also want to touch upon something that we haven't had a chance to talk about in a while. Something that we haven't had a chance to talk about, period, should I say. I shouldn't even say in a while. I should say something that we haven't had a chance to talk about. You know, hopefully you had a chance to read the show page. If not, take a look at the show page and just get yourself up to date and up to speed on what we're going to be talking about this evening. Because I think this guest here is going to truly bring something, a different perspective to the table. You know, oftentimes we focus around talking about sports and just solely focusing on the sports aspect, and just got off a wonderful call with Mothers of Athletes, another phenomenal job that the ladies did, and always, always a pleasure to be able to join in on their conversations. But I think we're going to take it to another level this evening. We're going to talk about something slightly different. We're going to focus a little bit more on the academic environment, But as always, before we go into even talking about that, folks, you know I got to give my man, Mr. Keith Wright, some props and let Keith do his little piece that he does for the Parents Culture Parents Network. Keith, where you at?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friend. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
And I think Keith's statement this evening about making smart cool is truly going to be a testament to what we're going to talk about this evening, because we're going to talk about something this evening, folks, that not only affects us as parents, our children as students and as athletes, but also somewhere where we can get into the classroom and build a stronger bond with our teachers, because we're going to talk about some class, some real class. And I have on this, with us this evening, the class coach, a title that I bestowed upon this young lady, and hopefully she don't mind it, but I bestowed that title upon her, and hopefully we can go with that title, and she will be okay with it. But we have on us
have on the air with us this evening, and I'm starting to get a little tongue-tied. I've been under the weather here this whole weekend, and I don't know what happened to me, but I'll recover from that. But anyway, that's not going to stop the show from flowing and us from doing what we have to do to make sure that our kids get the best out of every situation that we have here for them and here in the Parents Coach Parents Network. But I have on us on the air with us this evening Mrs. Blackwell, and I don't want to mess up her first name because I've yet to figure out how to pronounce it. So I'm going to be nice on that part and just call her Miss Blackwell for right now, or a.k.a. the class coach. But she is driven by her passion to reach urban students, and these urban students that she reach out to, students that are in dire needs. Oftentimes we look at these students and classify some of these students as being at-risk students, which I hate that term in itself, but she's driven by reaching urban students and being able to reach those urban students. She reaches them in a number of ways, not just through her teaching them and tutoring them, but assisting teachers in how to get them to their best ability. I had her bio here, but I seem to have misplaced it. So I'm going to go ahead, without further ado, go ahead and bring up our guest and get our guest started on this here wonderful show. Coach, you with us this evening?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I thought you were going to get shy on me and not say anything.
Absolutely not.
But I apologize for not going through the bio here. I seem to have misplaced it. And so give us a little insight of who we're talking to this evening.
Okay, my name is Takeda Blackwell, and I've been in education for about 17 years as a classroom teacher, as a department chair, as an instructional coach. I've taught from K through 12 and on the college level in public school and private school. And so the term, I guess, my new name of class coach, I guess is this derived from my newest venture in my educational pursuit or educational career, launching a blog called Teaching with Class. Class being an acronym to stand for Creating Learning Atmospheres for Successful Students. And as you mentioned before, I do have a great passion for the urban school student. So that's what I endeavor to do, to help parents and teachers create a learning atmosphere for our students to be successful.
Well, folks, you heard it. You heard it right there firsthand. We have the class coach, and I demand that each and every one of you that call in this evening, make sure you address her properly as the class coach. I'm just kidding. make sure that we keep this title going. We're gonna brand this title and put that out there as the class coach. Class coach. Class standing for creating learning atmosphere for successful students. Creating learning atmosphere. As folks, class. Well, that's a great thing, and that passion drove her to put together this program, and this program is hopefully will blossom out to be a national program, nationwide program that will reach all of our young kids, no matter where they're at. Parents, if you're on the line with us this evening, you can always give us a call at 917-889-8095. I'll say that number again, 917-889-8095. We're going to go straight into the questions here, Coach, if you're ready. Let's go ahead and get this show started. Still there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I thought we had disconnected or something. Thought we had a problem. Okay. Well, you already gave us a little information on what class stood for and talked about your passion and how that drove you to put together this program and start on your new endeavor. Why not just start another mentoring program like you see out here for all these other things that's going on around the country?
Well, I guess my focus would be more on the individuals who interact with the children on a daily basis. Like you said, there are a lot of mentoring programs to help children cope with, you know, home life and what's going on socially at school, or to give them academic assistance via tutoring or, you know, technology enhancement and those types of things. So that's great. But I'm more focused on the people who interact with our children the most. Those are the ones who are going to make the difference anyway. So I want to coach, class coach, I want to coach parents and teachers, and I'm both. I'm a parent of a 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 15-year-old, and a teacher, of course. I want to coach us to the point where we don't wait for the change to come to, you know, the change that we want to see in our students. We don't wait for that to happen at the, you know, school board meeting. We don't wait for that to happen through political elections. We don't wait for that to happen, you know, through school or administration. That has to happen in the classroom. That has to happen at home, because essentially that's where the change is going to take place anyway. If we have people sitting on these, you know, in these boardrooms and sitting in these high positions, they can make decisions all day long. They can establish strategies for, you know, that they want the districts to use, you know, for lessons to be taught and you know, different things like that. But it's not going to make a difference unless something happens in the classroom on a daily basis, unless something happens the home differently on a daily basis, so that our children can be successful. It's not about how tired you are. It's not about, you know, being a parent, any other excuse that can be used as to why your child is not being successful, you know, placing the blame on the teacher, teacher placing the blame on the parent. That game is over as far as I'm concerned. There needs to be something in place where parents and teachers are committed together to make sure that their children, especially in the urban setting, are doing what they're supposed, are doing what they're capable of doing. Because just because you live in a certain area, it doesn't mean that your intelligence level is diminished. As a matter of fact, the problem solvers that we need for the world are in urban city or urban areas, because, you know, they have to do all that problem solving to even survive on a daily basis. So it's up to us as teachers in those areas to channel that type of thinking into something that can be useful to the child and be successful in the classroom. So, you know, I don't think that doing another mentorship program from my perspective is going to help. I want to help the people who are supposed to be raising these kids up, and those are the teachers and the parents.
Woo! All right now, all right. I told you she had a passion for it, folks. I told you she had a passion for it. And see, that passion and that same burning desire should be emanating through your phones and through your speakers that you're listening to us on the internet, and reaching each and every one of you, because she says something that makes a whole lot of sense, something that we've been talking about here on the Parents Coach Parents Network for a long time now. Parents, we got to step up and be responsible. We're being called to task. This is something that we as parents need to get involved in, our educational process of our students. I see this day in and day out, where many times, only time the parent comes to the school is when the parent comes to the school to fuss about something, mm-hmm. not to come and reassure the child's academic success. We barely have a turnout when they have honor roll, society night, or whatever they call that stuff in whatever school you're in.
Right.
You barely have a turnout for that. You barely even have a turnout for parent-teacher conference.
Right.
You know, but class coach is calling you out, parents, and not only calling out the parents, but calling out the teacher, not really calling them out, should I say, more or less ensuring that we're doing what we're supposed to do as parents and as teachers, those who are interacting with our children on a daily basis. Well, we understood that you decided to go into a deeper level other than the mentoring program. What drove you to focus on something like this? What was a changing point, or
where did you get the energy from or the thought process from to start digging into something like this here?
Well, I can pinpoint a lot of things that – I'm sorry?
I was just saying, where did this passion come from?
Oh, okay. Well, actually, the most recent event that happened was I was doing a project for one of my classes, and I was doing like a safety plan for a school, and I had an opportunity to talk with my husband, who's a police officer. You know, I was talking to him about SROs and what exactly they do, since he is an SRO. And also, while I was doing the project, I thought about a time when I was teaching in the school and I had a student of mine who was suspended because of something that he did in my class. And this student, my class was on the third floor. This student was able to come back in the school, make his way up to the third floor, and walk in my classroom and literally turn it upside down. He threw desks, and when they finally caught him later, he had a weapon in his pocket. And on that day, I kind of lost my passion for, you know, sticking it out, you know, in these schools and, you know, all these problems and everything. That really, like, gave me, it scared me straight, because it's like anything can just happen in this school. And we, for teachers who are in here trying to really make sure that, you know, think that we do the right thing for our students, that somebody can actually walk in a building and get all the way up to the third floor. And I couldn't call for help because all the help was downstairs in the cafeteria. I guess they thought that was the main, you know, focus at that part of the day. Send all the big wigs and all your, you know, defense to the cafeteria. Meanwhile, you got teachers still teaching who are not in lunch yet. So I felt helpless. I left all my students behind looking for help. So all this came into play. And then talking to my husband about certain things, you know, that had happened in the schools, and he's just like, look, you need to you need to get out there and start talking to people about what you experience, you know, because a lot of people need to hear what you're talking about. And so I kind of thought about it. I was like, you know, because I'm not one that's walking around spitting statistics, because that statistics are just numbers on paper, you know, done in some school elsewhere. I live by experience. And my 17 years in a classroom, and you figure about 150 students per year, I have enough statistics in my head to know what works and what doesn't work. And strategies that have been pushed by, you know, national organizations, you know, statewide, local, that are supposed to be, you know, crafted for our students to be successful in class, yes, for the most part, they do work. But when the home is not conducive for a child to go and do homework, because the lights are not on, or we don't have water, and we're staying in a hotel because we're homeless, then those strategies don't come into play. There has to be something different for an urban student who has a different type of lifestyle that he or she has nothing to do with. No 5-year-old, no 12-year-old, no 18-year-old living with their parents has anything to do with being homeless and my parents are drug addicts. So what does that child do when he walks into school or walks in the classroom? The teacher's offended because he doesn't have a pencil. No, that's the furthest thing from his mind. He's trying to figure out when he get out of school today, how he gonna get home without getting his head bashed in and pick up his sister from elementary school. So all these things come into play and nobody's talking about it. So since I've been in the classroom and have encountered all types of students, but my mission every day was the one that they thought would not achieve or the one that they think cannot do, that's the one that's going to perform in my class. So that's from a teacher's perspective. Then as a parent, every parent knows if you do simple math in a 24-hour day, if you sleep 8 hours and your students are and your children are at school 8 hours, then how many hours are you actually spending with your child? So you should not let your child's teacher have more time with your child than you. You should want to know what's going on. There should not be a time that you don't ask, what did you do in school today? Let me see how well you're doing. It shouldn't be up to report card and progress report. You should be so involved. You should know your children's teachers' names. They should know your name. It should be a constant relationship because you're working together to make sure that your child is successful. Everybody on the same team. So as a parent, like I said before, and a teacher, I feel like like this dichotomy of passion coming from both sides. I can't get out of it. And especially when I walk through schools, even today, most of the kids that, you know, are not successful, they look like me. And that offends me because when I was in school and I'm still in school, I don't fail. That is not an option. And when I was the teacher, that was not an option. You can't not do in here. That period. So when you say, when I set that standard from the thug to the slow kid, they understood that that's not going to happen in my room, period. And that's how they stepped up. So I want to pour out my experience to parents and to teachers in that setting who have, you know, like either at their wit's end or they're trying to help and they just don't know what to do. I want to be that advocate. I want to be that voice, that connection between parents and teachers so that the child, the most important, the person that we're serving here, the parents serving the children and teachers serving children, so that they can benefit from what's being offered to them.
That's interesting how you stress the role of the parent, you know, and the importance of the parents being involved in that whole process from start to finish. And, you know, just hitting that little piece on simple math, parents, that should have registered with you big time right there. That little simple math piece that you just went through, you know, 8 hours, you're at work, 8 hours, you know, you're doing your other things, and 8 hours. What part of time are you actually spending with your child? How much information are you getting from your child once your child gets home?
Right.
You know, so what do you envision as being the overall role of the parent?
Well, as I mentioned on my blog website, the parent is the first teacher. So you kind of set the stage a little bit for how your child is going to approach school. So in our busy lives, some parents, you know, who are doing the work, you know, you go to work and then there's the after-school activities or the meetings or the extracurricular things that we're doing. If the child can pick up from the busyness seeing that school is last, if we go to all these other functions and then we come home at 8:30, let's hurry up and rush and get this homework done. So in the child's mind, that's considered, oh, school is last. So we set the stage for school at home, and it starts early. It starts, you know, when they first start talking or first start walking. You know, you teach them that how important it is to read, how important it is to speak correctly, how important it is to, you know, look people in the eye and be, you know, morally astute and, you know, having manners and things like that. That sets the tone. Because I can't count how many times a child would tell me, you know, if I say something to them, oh, my mama said if I go and so, okay. So they don't heard it at home, you know, that my mama said, y'all don't care about us anyway. Okay, you can't repeat stuff like that in front of kids because they bring that mindset to school. And they're so smart that they know how to use it as, you know, leverage against the teacher. So it's like a battle, like the child can go between parents, you know, mother and father. Daddy said I could, mommy said, you know, they do the same thing because they're so smart. They can come to school and play that same card. My mama said, go home and say to the mother, my teacher said. So you want to make sure as a parent that you set the tone for school. And that can't happen unless you have a relationship with the school, a relationship with the child's teacher, a relationship with the school itself. You got an hour a week to go up and volunteer, do that. Make sure they know that they're going to see you at school, not because they're doing something bad, but that you're there for support. So then they'll, you know, have a different mindset about it. And I know everybody's not able to do the same thing, but every parent is able to do something. So, yeah, for parents, that has to be. I guess I have a great conviction about being a parent. You know, I don't want to go to parent-teacher conference and the teacher tell me something about my child that I gave birth to, that I live with. I don't want you to tell me something about my child that I don't know, because that's embarrassing. I should not come to parent-teacher conference and find out that my second grader doesn't know how to add. I should have figured that out from home. either through homework or if I'm giving him, tell him to go upstairs and bring me five so-and-so and he keep coming back with the wrong amount. I should be able to discern that as a parent. And I should come to the teacher and say, you know what? I'm seeing at home that he's not understanding when we do simple math. Is he having trouble in school too? That's embarrassing for me as a parent. Not talk about any other parent. That's embarrassing for me as a parent to go to a parent-teacher conference and for somebody else tell me about my child. I should be able to echo what you say or tell you what my child is doing because I'm his mother. So the parent is the sole nurturer teacher for the child. I just loan him to you during the day to teach him, you know, in core subjects and, you know, established subjects, whether extracurricular things like foreign language and gym and all. I loan him to you for that, but I'm his teacher. And we're working together to make sure he matriculates from grade to grade so he can get this piece of paper that says high school diploma and then go on and get another piece of paper so he can get a decent job. But I'm his teacher. And that's and I wear that with the utmost conviction. So that's why I have this passion to pour it out.
hey, we're not going to knock you for that. We're going to join that bandwagon right along with you. Hopefully we got enough seats on that car to take a ride with you on that. Because
oh, yeah.
It is,
it's a yacht.
Definitely something that needs to be heard around the world. I think one of the things that I experience and see for myself, you know, you mentioned something a second ago where you talked about how, you know, you may send your child upstairs to get five pieces of so-and-so, and I'm not quite sure what so-and-so is, but anyway, you may send them upstairs.
Oh, I just made that up. I should have thought a little bit more.
I got you. No problem. I'm just messing with you. But, you know, when you send them upstairs, you know, and the child comes back with a wrong number or the child has difficulty doing whatever task that you assign to him or her, you know,
right.
A lot of times I see a big disconnect because far too often, many of the parents don't understand that elementary level of education.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that firsthand. Now, how do we tie some type of, how do we develop a collaborative effort between parents and the educators?
That's a good question because even as, you know, a teacher and a parent, sometimes my kids come home with homework that I don't understand or they do it a different way from when I learned it. It baffled me last year when my first grader came home and he was, you know, counting. He was trying to do simple math, and I told him to count on his fingers, and he said, my teacher said I can't do that. I was like, what? I almost lost it. Because I've been tutoring math forever, and I'm like, that's the first calculator, your fingers in your head. So, you know, I have to learn the new way. But then you have parents who are struggling for whatever reason. And I mentioned earlier about, you know, families that are going through transition, you know, they might be homeless. So they might need other supports as well. And that's why I said, you know, even as by way of my blog, you know, if I come across resources that parents can access in their community, you know, seminars or workshops that they can go to help their child with math. I know certain times schools have parent night, and, you know, you mentioned this earlier where, you know, we can't get a lot of support for the parents to come out on those nights. You know, they can come up there when you take the child's cell phone or a child's pick, but then when you have, you know, open house, and, you know, parent science night or parent math night, you seldom get the, you know, participation. So parents need to make sure, you know, they stay in contact with the schools. You know, if the school has web newsletters or anything like that, they should be asking their children, you know, what's the newsletter for this week or what's on the website or the calendar for the month. So when they have different things like this going on at school, that they can, you know, be in the know about it. Because ignorance is, you know, was killing everybody, the fact that you don't know. So your child, again, you're sending your child out to this school for these 8 hours, and they're doing stuff with your child that you don't even know. So you should want to know what's going on and what things are being offered to help, you know, to help you help your child and vice versa for the parent to go in and talk with the teacher on how to help their child even further. So I think, you know, we need to build that relationship between the parents and the teachers. And I know there's, you know, bad taste in parents and or teachers' mouths in certain areas, especially urban areas. You know, they feel like, you know, the schools really don't care, and the schools feel like the parents don't care. You know, so, but in the classroom, that can't be your testimony or your declaration as a teacher. You can't ever say that. And I'm not going to, you know, say that I've never said that, but that was never my premise on a daily basis. These parents don't care anyway, so I'm just going here and teaching, and the kids going to fail because the parents don't care. No, I can't do that because I have somebody 15 sitting in my class looking at me, and I'm supposed to service them regardless. So I need to make it so that he cares, and I want to talk to your mother. I want to talk to your dad. I want to talk to your grandmother, whoever's raising you, so we can build this relationship. And that's why with teachers teaching with class, I want to pour into teachers in the classroom. They have to. If you accept a job in an urban community, it's different from accepting a job at so-and-so academy or so-and-so collegiate or so-and-so, you know, institute. This is something different. This is free public education, and this is all these kids have. And the parents are sending you all that they have. So you have to do your, you know, educational background. You got your degree, great. You have to do whatever they ask you to do as far as your job description, awesome. But then there's an extra step that you need to take and learn what these students really need beyond what you've been taught. Because there is a missing element in urban education. They need something extra. And if you're not willing to go the extra mile or to study how best to serve these students, you're in the wrong placement. Go teach somewhere else. But in urban setting, you have to have a different passion, a different heart, and a different mission.
Well, that is so true, you know. And, you know, being in the school system myself, I see it time in and time out. And something mm-hmm. that you just mentioned that really, really, really truly catches my attention each and every time I see it. You know, I see the times that the teacher to be quick to pick up the phone and call a parent and say, well, so-and-so's having this problem today. I think you need to talk to him or talk to her or, you know, is there something going on? But I haven't seen that on the reverse side, the phone where the teacher picks up the phone and says, hey, just to let you know, you know, we had an outstanding day today. He'll
right.
be bringing XYZ home.
Right.
I need you to take a look at it. And, you know, if there's some questions on it, please write a note on it and send it back to me.
Right.
You know, so I think that's a true missing element at all school levels. You know, high school, I don't see it as much. I know you'll see it at the elementary and the middle school level, but high school, you don't see it as much. And I think at the high school level, they have totally disconnected from reaching out to the parents, not unless the parents have to bring the child back to school to be reinstated for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another thing that really caught my attention, and we stress this point and talk about this all the time here on the Parents Coach Parents Network, is that parents don't even know what they don't know.
Right.
As far as this new way of math equations and all this other stuff that's being taught out here, you know, just like you said, you know, we used to look at our fingers and look down
right.
at our feet and try to count our toes and everything else to get that thing going as far as if we adding and subtracting or whatever. And, you know, now they have these new formulas that's out there. And I looked at it a couple of years ago, and I don't have anybody that's in school now, in you know, elementary school or secondary school now. But I looked at them years ago and was like, okay, I'm not sure exactly how they what this formula is, son, but, you know, I can show you how to work the problem and get you your answer. You know, now if you know the rest of the formula, then you're on track. But I can show you the steps to get to the answer. You know, not just shortcut it. I can show you the steps to get to the answer. But you know, oftentimes they look for these formulas that they, I guess this must be something new that's out there. You know, we as parents, we have to step up. We have to be able to engage with the teachers as well as engage with our children once they get home. It's not an optional thing. It's a thing of must. We're going to take a little short break. We're going to step away for a few minutes or so and come back, and hopefully we'll have some questions coming for the class coach. The class coach. And I'm going to keep saying it there, folks. Give us a call at 917-889-8095. 917-889-8095. We'll be right back.
What is the NAIA?
The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics is the organizing body that oversees college athletics for its member schools. Schools who are members of the NAIA are made of smaller colleges located in the United States and Canada. The NAIA was established in 1952 as an organization to establish competition between colleges. The NAIA sponsors 13 different sports and runs 23 annual championships for those sports in both men's and women's athletics. The NAIA has different member schools than the NCAA and has different eligibility requirements as well. To make sure you are eligible to compete at an NAIA school, you need to register with the NAIA Eligibility Center at playnaia.org. Feel free to learn more at our website, athleticscholarships.net. Get recruited to play college sports today.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
I think as early as possible. It seems like in this day and age, kids are thinking about it younger and younger, and colleges are actually getting out and communicating with kids as they're younger. So it seems to me, you know, at least by freshman, sophomore year, get an idea of whether you want to play in college, and if the answer to that is yes, start to figure out what your game plan is and then move forward.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
All right, folks, we've been talking with the class coach there for about the last half hour or so. It's been a great conversation. Love to hear your thoughts or your comments or your questions. Come to the phone, come to the line, give us a call at 917-889-90. Make sure I got that number right, 917-889-8095. Once you get in, call in, hit option one. That'll let me know if you have a question. You can chime right in on the conversation. See, we have a number of callers that's listening to the show this evening. But if you have a question, please make sure you hit that option one so I know that you want to come in and you have a question. Well, we're going to get back to talking with class coach today, and hopefully she'll share some more insight on her philosophy and her how she's going to approach this and how she's going to take on this huge, huge challenge of making sure that our kids get the best out of every situation. Coach, are you still on with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You know, I mentioned it earlier in the show when I talked about, you know, that term that they use, at-risk kids. That's just something that just turns my stomach over, you know. And when I seen that you addressed it as urban kids in the urban community, I like that a whole lot better, because something about that at-risk kids is almost like a label that I truly hope that society gets away from. Any thoughts on that?
Well,
initially, I guess I pretty much shared your same concern about the term at risk, because my only experience at that point was urban schools. But until I got a wider exposure to it, it doesn't necessarily label just the urban child. But because in the urban setting, when you think special ed, when you think at risk, when you hear all these labels that children normally have attached to them, for the most part, those students look and part of that, and research does prove this, but I'm not going to try to quote anybody's name or numbers, that in the urban setting, students who are labeled at risk or labeled special ed are, predominantly students of color, whether they be African American, Hispanic, all of that. So part of that is because the way that the school is set up, or the strategy that the school may be implementing, are not beneficial to how we learn. So that goes back to what I was saying earlier. As a teacher in the classroom, in any classroom, but especially in an urban setting, you need to get to know your students. You have to be their friend. And I think that blocks a lot of teachers from, trying to establish a relationship with their students, because they hear, during their teaching classes that they take, you're not there to be the student's friend, yada, yada. But at the same time, human nature, from any person, any age, you're not going to do for anyone that you don't have faith in. You're not going to do for anyone that you don't have some type of positive relationship with. So the more you show your students that you care about them, the more you show them that you're interested in them as a person. I don't care about you doing my work per se. I care about you as a person. So that student will perform for you before they perform for anybody else. They'll perform for you before they perform for their parents, for some of them, because you're giving them the attention that they deserve at that stage in their life. And I've seen that time and time again as a teacher. I've had so-and-so in my class who has been cutting up and doing some of everything, cussing everybody out and doing all that stuff in everybody's class, and we get to the big round table, and when they give me the floor, I have nothing to say about that. No, I have never heard him curse in my class. No, I have never. He has never disrespected me. And I've had teachers come to me like, are you serious? You can't be having all these positive. Yes, because I make that known day one. You cannot do that. We're going to respect each other in here. So when they know that you care about them like that, they'll change how they behave. And sometimes that might trickle to the house. So sometimes, that's the hard lesson, or that's the hard part of our job as urban teachers. Sometimes we have to be their parent because they don't have one. And like I said before, if you're not ready to take that mantle on, if you're not ready to take on that extra job along with the 5 billion things you have to do as a teacher anyway, do not come to the urban setting, because you're not going to be successful. And the result of that being the children are not going to be successful.
Well, that is so true. And something that you just said a second ago really and truly made me think about something I see day in and day out in many of the schools that I have opportunity to visit. One of the funniest things that really comes to mind when I step into a school and I'm looking at a number of teachers that don't reflect the community, for one.
Mm-hmm.
For two, too much more past removing themselves from education. Like a freshly graduate from college, been out of school
right.
2-3 years, 4 years or whatever,
right.
Not familiar with that community. And when I say not familiar with that community, trust me, by no means, folks, am I talking about making this a black or white issue or anything of that nature. I'm just
right.
talking about somebody not familiar with that type of environment.
Right.
And then when you come into that environment,
you think that you just stepped into a bottomless pit.
Right.
Or you just went into an environment where, okay, you're going to have to wear body armor every day.
Right.
Because you're not used to that setting.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that day in and day out and wonder, why would a teacher, you know, I know you're trying to get the job and you need it, but you have to have some background or some knowledge on that type of setting before you step into it.
Yeah.
And I realize that a lot of times in field of school, the districts around here where I'm at, you know, a lot of these teachers come into these settings under the philosophy of, well, if you could work in this this district here, you know, the city will help pay off some of your student loans or
mm-hmm.
some of the crazy incentive that they throw out there for you to put you into this setting. You know, but that
mm-hmm.
does nothing for the child because you're there for the wrong motive.
Right.
Can you speak on that a little bit?
Well, I mean, while you were talking, I guess, a weak spot in my heart for children, period. And it's unfortunate that when they come, some of them, when they come to school, they see the same thing that they see at home. And that being, you know, people are there for a little bit and then they leave. You know, there's no longevity, there's no purposeful relationship established, you know. So they come to the school and they can pretty much tell you, you know, so-and-so teacher, she ain't coming back next year, you know. And you see that in urban schools, because, like I said, they don't have a passion, or maybe they don't have the wherewithal to even come in and relate to the students. You don't even have to be the same ethnicity. Because I know some black teachers who can't relate to black students and white teachers that can't relate to white students. So, again, like you mentioned, it's not a black or white thing. But if you can't establish a relationship with the students that you have, it's going to make it hard for you to teach at all. There has to be some type of connection. And, unfortunately, the kids come and they're of the mindset that y'all don't care anyway. So they come in with their armor. You talk about the teachers thinking that they need armor. The kids come in guarded too, because it's like, you know, who is she? Who is he? Here we go again. They don't care about us. Whatever. So as the teacher in that situation, the challenge becomes. My challenge was, you coming in here thinking I don't care in September, I'm gonna have you won over by January. And 9 times out of 10, I did. Now, did all my students make straight A's? No, that wasn't my point. But I do know that I made some type of impact on my students, all of them, whether they ended up, you know, getting locked up or, you know, whatever. I made sure that the time that I spent with them, I influenced them at some point, whether it was academically, more so socially, their self-esteem get boosted, something. So I just feel bad that there is no, like, we can think back to those teachers that took us home, that, you know, that we still keep in contact with today because we established a relationship with them. I wonder how much of that is still going on in the urban setting. How many students can actually say, I have teacher so-and-so from third grade and she still checks up on me? Or from middle school, and he still checks up on me. That's lost now because everybody's, like you said, coming in for the incentive, or when they don't get the results that they want, they checking out because these kids don't know how to act, these kids this and these kids that. So it's not, no one's taking ownership. It's not the parents not taking ownership, the teachers. And then you just got these kids with no one to help them. But somebody has to do something different.
Exactly. And you know, I see that, and then I also see a lot of the pressure is on a lot of these teachers as well.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
Because I know in many of these states, you know, you're driven by these standardized tests and all this other kind of stuff that's going along. So, you know, my philosophy is, and I deal with kids on a regular basis myself, and I approach each and every one of them with the same attitude. I'm going to treat you with firmness, fairness, dignity, and compassion, mm-hmm. and that's what you're going to get from me. Whether or not you're at the top of my list or whether or not you're at the bottom of my list, you're going to fall in all those categories there. You're going to get all that from me. You know, if I need to crack the whip on you, you're going to get the same thing that the one standing next to you going to get. And I don't care if she's standing there batting her eyes, big puppy dog eyes with tears in your eyeballs or whatever, you're going to get the same thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, if that time comes and the child say, well, you know, I ain't had no breakfast this morning or we ain't have no food at our house or the lights are off, you know, I'm going to try to do my best to try to assist wherever I can, you know, without going totally overboard. So I understand that, you know, I work under that logic of firmness, fairness, dignity, and compassion when dealing with kids on a regular basis. You know, and parents, we have to learn how to, as the coach been talking about it all night, we have to learn how to blend in to make ourselves visible, make ourselves available, make ourselves wanting to know what's going on in the classroom, not just when we get that call from the teacher,
right.
Not just when we have to go up there to reinstate our child because our child's been suspended, you know, not just to come up there and fuss and you're looking all crazy looking at everything. No, come on, don't do that. Come on up there and find out what's going on in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Find out what's going on or how can you assist your teacher, your child's teacher, in doing what he or she needs to do in the classroom, you know.
Right.
Well, we're about down to somewhere around our last few minutes of the show there, and it's been a fast hour. It's been a fast hour. Time flies when you're having fun.
But
you know, give us some nuggets to walk away with, and how you planning on taking the program forward, and what we can do to assist you in taking the program forward.
Well, my website is Love Teaching with Class. And, again, it's going to be a blog site where I offer information to parents and teachers on how to create that learning atmosphere so our students can be successful. It can be a forum for questioning. I've talked to you, Mr. Scott, about doing the radio shows and all that. So, you know, again, this is just a passion that I had, a push from my husband, and I don't know where this is going. I just know that I just want to pour out. And it can get as big as it wants to. I would love to help as many as I can. But like I said, most of what I do, most of what I have to offer is practical, just making connections with people, whether it be teacher-parent, parent-student, you know, teacher-student. Those connections have to be made. So as teachers in the urban setting, I would say that, you know, your main goal each day is to establish relationships with your students and positively influence them in some way, even if it's outside of academics for a minute. Positively influence them in some way. Let them know that you're a person, not just a teacher. You know, if you know some your kids play basketball, go to a game. Let them see you at the game. You know, do something that shows them that you care about them as a person. And then as parents, you know, I know that we have a lot on us as parents, but make it so that your child knows that you care about how successful they are. You care about their struggles as well as their successes. So if they're struggling in school, you know, make them know that that's your top priority, and you're going to do whatever you can to make sure that they do the best that they can do. Not looking for A's and B's necessarily, but looking for ways to help your children be the best that they can be in everything that they do, and let them know that you're there as their number one cheerleader, number one support, you know, and if all of us are doing that, then children have a different mindset. They think better of themselves, and they'll do better in school. So, again, I guess I'm the class coach. I think I'm going to steal that, Mike. I'm the class coach, and, you know, my brand is Teaching with Class. The website is Love Teaching with Class, and look for it in the coming future because it's going to be big.
Exactly, and I'm just going to let everybody know that's on the call. Again, if you want to give us a call, we have still have a few minutes to get in a question or two. 917-889-8095, 917-889-8095. And I'm just going to let everyone know, I'm going to go ahead and put that out there, that keep your eyes and ears open, folks, because the class coach will be on the air with us at some point in time. Love Teaching with Class, with the class coach. We'll be on Blog Talk Radio, under the Parents Coach Parents Network, and we're going to roll from there and keep that information going. So be prepared to hear more from the class coach as we move forward, as she moves forward with her endeavor and make another successful effort to make this huge dent in our community and turn some lives around to make our children prosperous. Well, if anybody wants to reach out to you there, Coach, how do they reach out to you? Do you have a I know you say you have your blog spot.
They can also,
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I know you said that you had the blog spot. Is there a way that they can email you through the blog spot, or just comment on some of the blogs, or how you want them to reach out to you? I'll put the information up on our Facebook page as well.
Well, they'll be able to comment on the blogs on the blog spot. I haven't set up the email to the blog spot just yet, but I have my own email. If that's, you know, if anyone wants to email me, they're free to do that. My email address is tcblackwell@wm.edu. And I'll be glad to address any concerns, any ideas people may have about what Teaching with Class can offer, organizations or agencies that we can make connections to and get this word, you know, get this information out to parents and teachers. And, you know, just make this triangle work, parents, teachers, and students. It's going to take everybody doing their part.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. I could see you getting some offers to come out and speak to a group of parents and teachers in some type of form there right around the corner. Just right around the corner. The opportunity is there. It's right around the corner. Again,
I'm available to do that as well.
Give out that email address one more time. And you know, because some of our folks didn't have their pens ready. I see them trying to still reach their pocket to get that pen out.
Okay. It's tcblackwell@wm.edu. Again, it's tcblackwell@wm.edu.
All right. Well, we definitely thank you for joining us this evening. It's been a pleasure. I think we're on to something wonderful, and this is going to take off. Folks, again, keep your eyes and ears open. We'll be launching Teaching with Class. Love Teaching with Class. Excuse me. Let me get this to get that correct. Love Teaching with Class. From our very own, we're going to say it, we're going to coin it, we're going to phrase it, we're going to hold on to it, our very own, the class coach. All right.
Thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, no problem. Our pleasure. Anytime we can share something with our parents and get more information out there on how our parents can do their best, do their part to work with our kids, is always a plus here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. We thank you again. Folks, be listening. We'll be back again next Sunday. We'll let you know when we're going to launch the Love Teaching with Class show, and it's going to be coming up real soon. So keep your eyes and ears open. Again, if you want to check us out, you can find us on Facebook at Parents Coach Parents Network, Twitter, and Instagram at PCP Network as well. All right, folks, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. I think it's about time for us to wind down. So as we close out, we got my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Go ahead, close us out, Keith.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part, but this.